Hello and welcome to the 99% Podcast.
You're Michael McAndrew.
And you're Lucy Moi Daly.
It is episode 10 of the 99% Podcast. How do we get to 10 episodes in such a short space of time?
It's only been
a year and a month. We've been off the past 2 weeks because Michael was away in France on a nice little holiday.
Yeah.
I was away in County Cork.
Yeah.
On a nice little holiday. Michael, how was your trip?
It was good. I've never been to Paris before.
Really? So, oh, beautiful
yeah,
city.
It was first. I mean, I think everybody's kind of been to Paris.
It's one of those places.
Once.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I could definitely go again for sure. But yeah, I kind of did all the usual things.
You go to the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
The Arc de Triomphe.
Yeah.
Le Centre.
Well, we were staying.
I'm practicing my French pronunciation. Le Centre de Pompidou. Le Musée du Louvre.
Louvre. God, your pronunciation's terrible. I think mine's slightly better than yours. But we stayed kind of just on the other side of the Arc de Triomphe.
Very nice.
And it was this kind of old, really cool hotel.
Yeah.
So it was kind of part of the, and it was in a really, They were all kind of local people in the area and stuff, and the restaurants are great. So we did the Eiffel Tower towards the kind of end of the holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And we went up at nighttime because it's obviously the best time to go.
I'd say so, yeah.
Oh, definitely.
I've only ever been during the day, though.
Yeah, it's so much better during the nighttime, I think, because you get all the lights.
Oh, absolutely.
It's so cool. But it started raining really, really bad. There's like a thunderstorm and everything. But we went all the way up. Did you go to the top?
I went to the top
yeah,
during the day.
It's definitely worth it to go to the top. But yeah, it was good. We went to all the art exhibitions, of course, as well.
Very nice.
The Louvre.
Did you go to Disneyland?
No.
Then you haven't been to Paris at all, Michael. What's wrong with you?
I saw like little kids running
around. You haven't been to France until you've been to the American part of Paris. But while you were there, of course, the finals of European Championships were on.
Yes.
While you were in Paris.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy. That was kind of crazy.
So it must have been mad in the city.
Well,
France were in the final.
So, yeah, it was really pretty crazy. And then afterwards,
a nice Monday morning when Portugal beat France.
Yeah, it was really weird. Like there was after the game, there was like a load of Portuguese people who came out into the streets. So there was a lot of Portuguese people who just came to the city, but they didn't actually go into the game itself.
Yeah, okay.
They just came kind of
for the vibe. Yeah.
Yeah. So, which is really weird. But after the game, you know, there was kind of, because we were on the fifth floor, everybody kind of came out into the balconies and started like shouting. And they were like, you know, in French at the Portuguese fans, they were like shouting at them and stuff.
Yeah.
And then there was like fireworks started going off all over the place. It was like, for somebody who wouldn't be used to that, it was kind of creepy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh my God, are they, what's going on?
Well, that's a country still in a state of emergency from
exactly November. And there were like just, there was like bangers going off all over the place. And that was kind of going on until about 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Which is really crazy. And then there was like more fireworks going on around the Eiffel Tower and all these things.
Mm-hmm. Did you get to watch the football?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, where did you watch it?
I just watched it in the room, to be honest.
In the room, oh.
Yeah, there was like this little...
to some crazy bar with all the French fans.
Oh, yeah, there was like a bar literally just down the road really crazy French people. Mm-hmm. And they were, you know, I didn't want to go in, though.
That would have been worrying.
Yeah, yeah. But there was people...
The French know how to, you know, lose.
Yeah, lose well. Good losers.
Lose with a bang.
But no, it was a good trip. I'm glad that I got the Euros in, and I'm glad I got home before Nice happened, because say things would have been a lot more difficult.
Probably. And also transport would have been, you know.
Yeah. And we went home on Bastille, at the beginning of Bastille
Day. Yeah, yeah. Which went home like hours before.
I mean, all the roads were closed.
Mm-hmm.
So it was pretty... like the metro was closed down, so, you know, it was tricky enough to get back. But it wasn't too bad.
Mm-hmm.
And we got some of the Bastille Day experience as well, which is good.
Yes,
yeah, but I think we should probably talk about Nice briefly.
Briefly.
Yeah, it was really horrific, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. And it was a new form of attack as
well. But this is
it's one that's harder to control because it's you can't regulate all vehicles.
Yeah.
To stop that kind of thing from happening.
But I mean, it was something that it's a known potential tactic, right?
Yes,
I mean, something that was well known.
Yeah, yeah. It's
that
been,
could
it's
have
suggested
been
before. Yeah,
but I mean, you can't really defend from an attack like that. And that's the real danger behind.
Oh,
it,
I know.
You
know.
And it was such a public place. It was like everybody's been.
Oh yeah, there was a family. Anyone it was a family
goes,
event.
Anyone who goes to Nice goes to the prom.
Yeah, exactly. You know, yeah.
Goes to the promenade. So, I mean, we've and then the coup in Turkey as well,
which was just strange.
Very strange. Basically, the military decided that they were going to try and start a coup against the president.
President Erdogan?
Yes, of the country, who has been the prime minister of the country since, what, 2003?
Something like that, yeah.
So he's been prime minister for ages and then just has become the president in the last few years. But basically what happened, the whole idea is that when Turkey was created from part of the Ottoman Empire after the First World War, the military were given a job to ensure that the government was sticking to the constitution of the country. And if they weren't, well, then they would, you know, kind of form a coup.
Mm-hmm.
And this happened actually many times in Turkey's history. This time, however, it was slightly different because it was unsuccessful. And pretty much the reason behind its, the reason why it wasn't successful was because they didn't have the full support
of the public,
mm-hmm. and also the full support of the military. It was only a small part of the military that wanted to rebel against the president. So it wasn't very successful.
Mm-hmm. Which leads to questions about the source of the plan.
Yes.
As well.
The most interesting part, though, is that the US and the EU are both supporting the president mm-hmm. of Turkey.
Yeah.
The EU have an agreement with the president that they may allow Turkey into the EU also if they manage the whole refugee. It's very, very kind of volatile situation. Mm-hmm. Very, very complicated. And I think it's something that we need to kind of... I don't know enough to mm-hmm. talk about.
Yeah, you'd have to do a lot of
detail.
Research to form
but
a very.
But we can you know just give a brief overview of what's kind of mm-hmm. what's going on there. But
no, I mean there's a lot of layers to it, and it's very interesting. And I would encourage people to look into it if they're interested, and if they want to form a very educated opinion on it, they should. Yeah. They should read about the situation in Turkey there.
But I think something we can talk a little bit more about is the new Prime Minister of the UK.
Yeah, so, you know, you say a lot. A week is a long time in politics. 2 weeks, a very long time. So much has changed since we last came to you.
I know.
We knew last time that David Cameron had resigned as Prime Minister. We knew that there would, before the end of the year, be a new Prime Minister in place. Mm-hmm. At the time, we thought Michael Gove, Andrea Leadsom were strong contenders. Mm. We thought the new Prime Minister would come in September. Well, 2 weeks later, and we have a new Prime Minister. She's been in for almost a week. Theresa May. Theresa Will, Theresa May.
And the really interesting thing about it, Theresa May, is she's the softest type of politician you could...
Quite. She's very,
very, very reserved.
Yes.
And
she's, for a member of the Conservative Party, she is very uncontroversial and not very provocative.
Which, you know, you would think
she's
would be a great...
Safe, yeah.
A safe move. However, she's made some very controversial decisions.
Yeah, and this is, you know, in her point. I mean, she hasn't done anything in terms of policy as yet, but her appointments of secretaries and ministers have ruffled a few feathers. namely, we have, as our new British Foreign Secretary, the great, eloquent, educated orator Boris Johnson.
Mm.
A man who has offended more countries than I can count. And as soon as I heard this, Theresa May lost me.
Yeah.
I mean, she lost me by being a conservative, but she lost me with this.
Well, yeah.
Of all the jobs to give him. I mean, he would have been happy with Secretary of Transport or something.
Yeah.
And to give him Foreign Secretary. Now, Boris Johnson immediately had to go and negotiate or had to, you know, deal with the Nice situation and British citizens in France.
Yeah.
And the Turkish situation, he had to negotiate, he had to, you know, call up those countries and be the delegate of Britain's position. And it's, I mean, I can't imagine he's not going to do a terrible job.
Yeah, I agree. But what's equally interesting is how many people she has put on the, you know, the people mm. who she's put on the back bench
exactly.
as well.
George Osborne. George the Chancellor. Osborne. Now, George Osborne, of course, maybe a year ago would have been considered the front runner to take over as Prime Minister from Cameron because he was the secondary guy. He was the Chancellor. But he was so pro the Remain side in the Brexit debate. He was such a passionate Remain campaigner, and he led that campaign within the Conservative Party because he is the guy with the numbers and the guy with the financial statistics behind him, that in order to keep the enormous number of Leave people in the Conservative Party happy now, Theresa May has essentially thrown him out of the cabinet. She has thrown him out of the cabinet altogether.
Yeah.
Which is strange, because he was in such a senior position just a week ago.
As she's also gotten rid of Gove as well.
She's gotten rid of Michael Gove. Which Andrea Leadsom has gotten Environment Secretary, yeah. I think. But Michael Gove, yeah, I think he's been punished for his behavior definitely. And his sneakiness and his...
Yeah, yeah, but I it's very strange. Why would she make those kind of decisions? Why would she make those kind of...
I don't know, to make a statement, like, to make a statement that there's a shift, because I guess people are quite concerned about the implications of the exit.
Yeah.
And she's trying to make it clear that she has a plan, and she has concrete shift in the government's policy that she is going to, you know, stamped down straight away. The speech she made when she arrived at Downing Street last Wednesday, she talked about the union and how important unionism is to her, and that Scotland, Northern Ireland, Wales and England are a union. And then she talked about combating social injustices and helping the misfortunate and stuff like that. And it was a weird speech. It was a mixture of very hardline British Conservative Party ideals and then things which would be quite moderate and Labour leaning, and it was very hard to figure out from that speech. I was trying to picture what the next 4 years are going to be like with her as Prime Minister, and I was finding it quite difficult to form a clear image.
I think she probably did that on purpose, to be honest.
I do. I think she's trying to make it clear that she has a plan, but she doesn't want us to know what it is.
Yeah.
But it involves Boris Johnson as Foreign Secretary.
She's probably trying to make as many friends as possible.
Yes.
And Boris Johnson, bringing Boris Johnson on, is doing that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she has a lot of the more reserved people on her side in the Conservative Party, but she may not have already had the more outspoken people as Boris Johnson and his supporters within the Conservative Party, which he has a lot of.
And she wants to bring those people on board. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So maybe it's a good move on her part, but we'll see.
It'd be a good move on her part, but I'm not sure it's a good move on the country for the country.
Well,
or for anyone else.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah.
But as I've said, she's the second female Prime Minister of the UK, and as long as she doesn't, you know, completely screw things up the next 4 years, she will probably be the best female Prime Minister they've ever had. It's a pretty low bar to reach.
Yeah.
So while that's happening in Britain,
yes,
in America, we have it's a big week. Do you have the music, Michael? The America music.
The America music. What one is that?
Answer to no one.
Yes, I do.
Yep. Yes, everybody, this week it's the Republican National Convention 2016 in Cleveland, Ohio. Donald J. Trump becoming the official nominee of the Republican Party. And Mike Pence will be his running mate in the election. Republicans are flooding into Cleveland with their guns, their tattoos, and their Make America Great Again hats. And it's an open carry state, so you can carry your gun wherever you want, whenever you want.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great week for right-wing people in America. And one of the people speaking at the convention will be Governor Rick Perry of Texas.
Our favorite.
Stop. To stand my ground, take my job, but not my guns. You know the next line?
Nope.
Till I ain't got none, except for the good Lord up above.
Yeah.
Who does he answer to?
No one.
Yeah. So yeah, the RNC started last night with a speech from Donald Trump's beautiful wife, Melania Trump. And already ruffling some feathers. Oh, I've said that twice now.
That's your thing this week.
She made a speech. Do you have the video, Michael?
What video is this?
The audio of Melania's speech, because Melania has already been getting into some hot water over claims that she has plagiarized Michelle Obama's speech from the 2008 Democratic National Convention. And there is audio evidence of this. All right, turn off the music.
From a young age, my parents impressed on me the values that you work hard for what you want in life, that your word is your bond, and you do what you say and keep your promise, that you treat people with respect.
And Barack and I were raised with so many of the same values, like you work hard for what you want in life, that your word is your bond, that you do what you say you're going to do, that you treat people with dignity and respect.
So that was Michelle Obama contrasted with Melania Trump. And
it's exactly
the same.
That's so funny.
I don't know whose idea it was to have Melania Trump make a speech, frankly.
But she didn't even execute it half as well as Michelle Obama did.
Exactly. I mean, I don't think she has a very good command of the English language, to be fair to her. I don't think she's lived in America very long.
No.
And I don't think that she's needed to speak very eloquently in the past. But this was her chance, her big shot. And, you know, I'd say his supporters seem to think it was a good speech. Of course, his supporters are people who don't believe facts. So
but they should. I mean, if it was a Michelle Obama speech.
I would assume the majority of Trump supporters probably think that Michelle Obama speech is, you know, fake. That was concocted in video editing software last night to make the Trumps look like bad people.
Probably.
So it's Trump's week in the spotlight in Cleveland.
Sure is.
Everyone's getting very excited about that ticket. We've got Mike Pence is the governor of Indiana.
Yeah.
Do you know a lot about Mike Pence? I read up a bit about him this week.
Not really.
I didn't know much about him until last week.
I didn't.
Now.
No.
Trump's three choices. Kind of the shortlist was Chris Christie, who we all know.
Oh,
Chris Christie.
Yes,
Chris Christie.
But they were never. I mean, come on, he was never going to pick Chris Christie.
It seemed unlikely, largely because Chris Christie once got his son's.
Yes.
Father-in-law thrown in jail
or something.
And then Newt Gingrich is an old stalwart of the Republican Party. He's been around for oh so many years. He used to be Speaker of the House. He's a nasty man, but frankly he's probably not as nasty as Mike Pence, because Mike Pence is the nastiest.
Yeah,
the worst part about this is that Mike Pence is Irish. His grandfather is from Sligo, and I think his grandfather's from Sligo and his grandmother's from Clare, and they emigrated to the U.S. birthed a child who may now be the worst vice president in America's history. Mike Pence is the man behind that wonderful law that allowed businesses to discriminate against gay people because of their religious beliefs. Mike Pence shut down HIV clinics, causing a major HIV outbreak. I mean, why would you shut down HIV testing clinics? Like, it was a testing center. He's on the opposite side of the Republican Party to Trump in many ways, but he's actually a lot worse on some things. He believes climate change is a myth. And Mike Pence also believes that smoking does not cause death. He wrote on his website, smoking doesn't kill. In fact, 2 out of 3 smokers does not die of a smoking related illness. Last time I checked, Hillary, who sent out these facts, said last time I checked, that means that 1 out of every 3 smokers does die from a smoker related illness, right? So he shut down the only HIV testing center in Scott County, Indiana. And he wrote on his website, global warming is a myth. The global warming treaty was a disaster. There, I said it. So this guy's a real he's a real fool. Yeah. There's a nice picture of him and Trump, and
it was a very interesting conference.
The announcement was so absurd.
It was so weird.
Basically, I mean, there was a deadline.
It started with the Rolling Stones music.
You can't always get what you want.
Oh, brilliant. such a Trump
I know.
Kind of a thing, like
But he, Trump had a deadline to pick his VP because Mike Pence had to, before Friday, decide whether he was going to rerun as governor of Indiana or not.
Yeah.
He had to have his name down on the ballot. So that was their last chance. So Trump only found this out on Wednesday, apparently. And then when the niece, so he was going to have the press conference on Thursday. Wait, what day did niece happen on? Wednesday or Thursday? Thursday. Thursday, yeah.
Thursday, yeah.
So Trump was going to have the press conference on Thursday afternoon, Friday morning? Did he have it on Saturday?
He had it on the Saturday.
He had it on the Saturday. He was going to have the press conference on Friday, but then he, you know, either because of Nice or just using Nice as an excuse, pushed it back to Saturday so that he had some more time. But then he tweeted on Friday afternoon that it was going to be Mike Pence because that was, they needed to do that so that Pence could withdraw as governor.
Yes.
But now if Trump loses the election, poor Mike Pence is out of work for 5 years.
Yeah.
So the poor guy, poor Mike Pence.
Yeah, I don't really. But the weird thing about the announcement was he just literally, Trump just used it so he could talk about himself.
Trump just talked for like 28 minutes and then said, oh yeah, I forgot about Mike Pence. Like he literally said back to Mike Pence.
And then he like said some really kind of,
One gets the sense, as with most things, that Donald Trump does not want Mike Pence as his running mate.
Yeah.
Donald Trump, I don't think, even wants to be running as a Republican, but whatever. Mike Pence is going to do, he's going to get a lot of support. He will benefit this ticket, I think, but far more so than Chris Christie. Chris Christie is too similar to Trump.
Yeah.
He is the same type of Republican. Mike Pence is the sort of Christian, Southern appealing type. He's not from the South, from the Midwest, but anyway. So yeah, I think whatever. That's Trump and Pence, and the RNC is going on all week. It's gonna be an exciting week because Trump will be making his big speech on Thursday night. I'd probably stay up and watch that. And you know, there'll be a few other. Mike Pence is making a speech tonight, and then you know, but the Bushes aren't going to the convention. John McCain's not going to the convention. Mitt Romney's not going to the convention. So it's going to be a weird Republican convention. It's going to be very unlike one that's been seen for a long time. The one that it's most comparable to, I think, is probably 68 when Nixon was running. But anyway, so next week then is the Democratic National Convention, where Hillary and Bernie will team up to defeat evil with the help of Lady Gaga and Lenny Kravitz, both of whom are performing.
Nice.
And we'll be covering that here on the 99%.
We sure will.
So while Europe was in turmoil over various horrendous incidents this week, there was also nasty stuff happening in America about 2 weeks ago now, about a week and a half ago. There were two more killings of young black men by the police, Alton Sterling and Philando Castile. And this, of course, brought up the issue of police brutality again and of, you know, the difficulties in race relations that are reemerging the last, you know, year or two. And then there was a shooting of police officers on the Thursday night or the Friday morning.
By a sniper
in Dallas. And then again, three nights ago, there was a shooting of more police. And that one I didn't...
In Baton Rouge.
But the Baton Rouge shooting didn't seem to have as much association to the racial problem. From my perspective, like the Dallas one, the man who did it was very blatantly a sort of, he was enraged by the police's behavior and he was targeting them directly. The thing in Baton Rouge seemed more like a different kind of incident. I don't know, but the media did treat it as another aspect of this debate and of this issue. So I suppose that
did
is
you
how.
See the video of the Facebook live stream
in the car?
Yeah.
Yes, I did. Oh, it's
I mean,
terrible
that
video.
Was just horrific.
It's horrible.
And you know, you just see this police officer just pointing his gun at.
I know.
Yeah. It's really, really.
No, I mean, it's at a point now where it's been people have been talking about this enough now that really, if you're a police officer,
you shouldn't be
doing this.
Yeah.
I mean, when the president has been talking about it now for 2 years since Michael Brown was shot in whatever the town was called.
Yeah.
You think it would have stopped. But it continues to happen because it's America.
Yeah, but like, but why? This is the question. I mean,
fear and fear that is being perpetuated by
I think the
likes of Donald Trump.
I think the biggest problem, and if you compare America to here, the UK, for example, or pretty much anywhere in Europe, police officers don't constantly fear that somebody is concealing a weapon.
Yes.
And they don't constantly fear for their lives.
Yeah.
And so they don't feel like they have to go on the offensive
all
the time.
There's two aspects to this. There's the gun problem.
There's the gun problem.
And there's the race problem.
And there's the race
problem. The fact is, white people aren't being shot by the police.
Well, that's not true, though. It's not true to... It's not true entirely.
Yeah.
There are more unarmed black people being shot.
Okay, okay, yes.
If white people are being shot are armed.
Yes. Well, I think the unarmed is the problem, yes.
Yes, the unarmed part is the problem there. Why would you shoot an unarmed person who is of no threat to you or very, very little threat to you and like, kill them? Why would you do that? And it's just pure, it's number one, fear, and there is race.
Yeah,
absolutely, that comes into that. And there, it's huge.
But is it a case that the more that the media talks about white cops shooting unarmed black people, the more white cops are going to be scared of unarmed black people, and are going to actually be more likely to subconsciously even feel more threatened by them?
Yeah,
even though they know that this is the worst thing you can do in your job is right now to shoot and kill an unarmed black person. You're damaging the reputation of the American police around the world.
Yeah, but you see, I don't think they're in the moment. I don't think police officers are thinking about the reputation of the American police force. They're thinking of their own lives.
But is the situation getting worse as it is you know? Is there any way for it to get better when it seems that the more that people get killed, the more people are getting killed? Like, is the amount of discussion about the issue impacting on the issue and making it actually get worse?
I think it is.
Yeah.
So what needs to be done, there's two things that needs to be done. There's gun control laws.
Yeah, gun control
laws. Need to be brought in.
I know.
I mean... Come on.
And if you're listening in America, now we talk a lot about Trump and Clinton, but really it's the lower levels of the electoral ticket that you need to be worried about. It's about your congressmen and your senators.
Yeah.
These are the people who are going to be voting on bills put forward by the president come next year. And if there is a Republican majority in Congress and the Senate, there will be no gun control passed for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
So you need to vote for those people. You need to vote for the right people. For those jobs.
And look, I mean, countries can do whatever they want. But when you look at this kind of situation that is happening, you can't just say, oh, no, our gun control laws are fine.
Yeah.
Because they're not.
But I don't think...
There's like...
Like, nobody even says that. It's either a case of people think they're terrible or people just jump straight to the Constitution and say, this is a constitutional issue.
Yeah. Exactly.
But the Constitution was written when people were firing muskets, not semi-automatic weapons.
Correct.
You could not shoot multiple people in a matter of seconds. You could not shoot them dead. That wasn't possible. You could shoot a bear in probably 10 seconds. That's why it exists.
Guns were far less lethal.
Exactly.
When the Constitution was written.
But the Constitution has to develop with time. You can't have a document that is based in a different century. You need to update it when the world...
Absolutely.
Becomes a new place. And that's just, that applies in every area.
Yeah.
It applies in terms of civil rights. It applies in terms of guns.
Absolutely. But then the other part of it is a reform within the policing system. And there is a mentality. In these areas in particular, you see that pretty much all of the police officers are white males. There is no diversity within the police force in these areas whatsoever, and there is definitely
there needs to be reform of the police force.
There does
at the very high tiers,
and it's a cultural thing. It's very much a cultural thing, and that is going to take a long time for sure. if it'll ever happen at all, mm-hmm. you know? So they're two very, very difficult issues to kind of overcome.
Yeah.
And with the current presidential situation that's going on, it could get worse.
Yes, it could, yeah.
So, yeah, the U.S. have a problem.
Okay.
More than one.
So, all right. Moving on.
Let's move on.
Is it time now for the 99-second quiz?
99-second quiz. All right, let's run the music.
All right, it's the 99-second quiz here on the 99%.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, I was asking you questions, Michael.
This week,
the tables are turned.
They sure have. All right, I'm going to start the timer.
Okay, so I have 99 seconds to answer a few questions. Last week, Michael scored 1.5 on the quiz.
1.5.
So we'll see what score I get this week.
Okay. I'm starting the quiz now.
Okay.
What famous entrepreneur and philanthropist celebrates his 67th birthday today, July 19th?
Pass.
What city hosted this year's Homeless World Cup?
Bangkok.
Who did Donald Trump announce as his
Mike Pence
this week? Who plays the voice of Dory in the upcoming final?
Ellen DeGeneres.
Theresa May has become the new Prime Minister of the UK this week. What was her father's occupation?
A preacher or whatever.
What TD called Enda Kenny out on replacing him as party leader?
Deputy leader. Dr. James Riley.
Air Code is celebrating its first birthday. What percentage of the population are said to be using Air Code?
26.
This year celebrates the 100th anniversary of what discovery in physics?
Don't know.
Who was the last British director to win an Oscar for Best
Danny
Director?
Boyle.
This week reports were released of the decline of bees in Ireland. Who famously said, if the bees disappear from the surface of the earth, man would have 4 years to live?
Charles Darwin.
What year was the Chilcot Report commissioned?
2010.
How long did Joe O'Toole last as the chairman of the Commission on Water Charges before resigning?
6 months.
There we are. It is okay. Over.
That was pretty tough.
That was pretty tough.
There was a few in there that were so simple.
There was a few in there that were so simple because it's going to feel bad.
But some of them were so
okay. Okay. So do you know how many you got?
I'm going to guess 3.
You got... Okay, so...
Just go through the answers that I got wrong.
Okay, so the first one, the philanthropist.
Yeah.
Richard Branson.
Okay.
Glasgow was the city.
Okay.
So, Donald Trump, Mike
I got
Pence,
that.
You got that.
Got
you
Ellen
got
DeGeneres.
Ellen DeGeneres. He was a vicar, Theresa May.
Oh, come on.
So...
Come on, I said priest, preacher, priest, minister.
Preacher,
a vicar,
minister.
It's the same thing, right? You have to give me at least a half.
I'm giving you a half for that.
I'd say it's...
The TD who called Enda Kenny out was Brendan Griffin. You didn't get that.
Never, I've genuinely never heard of him.
Less than 5% of people use Air Code.
Oh my God.
Yeah. General Relativity was the physics discovery. Just, you know, just the most famous physics discovery ever.
I know.
Tom Hooper was the last British director.
Oh.
King's Speech.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that. Oh, okay.
Albert Einstein said about the bees.
Oh, that's terrible. I was thinking of Einstein, and then I said Darwin because I didn't associate Einstein with nature and stuff. Okay. I was thinking of them.
6 days, Joe O'Toole lasted. I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
And yeah, that's it. So you got
it?
You got
2.5?
You got 2.5. You did better than I did.
Okay.
There you go. 2.5.
All right, that's not so bad.
Okay. That wasn't a bad quiz, was it?
Yeah, so I'll be asking you the questions again next week.
Yes.
And sure, we'll shake it up eventually and we'll have guests on answering questions.
Exactly. We would definitely.
But unfortunately, there's no guests in the studio today.
There's
so
no guests whatsoever.
Definitely isn't a guest sitting beside us. Okay.
No.
So it's time now for 99% features. 99% features. Yes, it's 99% features. The feature where we feature people with 99% features. This week, we're speaking to somebody from the Central Statistics Office. Some preliminary results from the 2016 Irish Census of Population were released this week. And Neil Nugent will be telling us about those results.
So the preliminary results for the 2016 census have been released. And we've seen a lot of very interesting, but honestly quite predictable statistics overall. The country's population has increased by 169,724 people since 2011, which, to be honest, is not really a surprising result, seeing as we have one of the highest birth rates and lowest death rates in Europe. Each of the major cities, Dublin, Galway, Limerick, Cork, and Waterford, have grown in population significantly since the last census. However, not every country has grown in population. Mayo, Sligo, Donegal have experienced a decline in population. So we asked Neil why he thinks this may be happening.
The main reason is that population tends to be moving away from the rural areas and moving to the urban areas. So that's why you'd see Donegal and lots of the other counties on the west. If they haven't decreased the population, they're not getting the population growth as Leinster would have, and particularly Dublin and the commuter areas.
Along with the general population figures, the report also published some statistics relating to current issues faced by the government, such as the housing crisis. There are now 2,022,895 houses in the country, but what seems most shocking is the percentage of these homes that are no longer lived in. 259,562 of these houses are currently unoccupied. The highest percentage of unoccupied houses is in Leitrim at a shocking 29.5%, and Kildare has the lowest vacancy rate at 6.3%. Another statistic released in the report registers the average number of people a TD must now represent in the Dáil.
According to these results, the current number of TDs in the country is actually in breach of the Constitution's rules for representation. Did the CSO expect that the number of TDs would be increased in the near future as a result of these figures?
I suppose all we do is just release the data. So there will be a boundary commission set up. They will look at the data that the census has released, and it is only preliminary level. So they would expect a boundary commission to be set up shortly to look at the preliminary data, but they won't be able to make any final recommendations until the final results are in. When we looked at the data we have now, as you said, the constitutional limit is 30,000 per population per TD. There's now 25 constituencies out of the 40 over that limit.
So what does this mean for the government? We asked Neil where these results will play in the government's decision-making process and in their policy making.
I suppose the main thing would be this data will be available. It's available to everyone, but other local authorities and government civil service departments would look at this data, whether it's just for housing. We'd look at the data of where people are working. So, as you know, most people want to work close to or want to live close to where they work. So if we could identify where the place of works are, then hopefully local authorities and housing bodies would look at that and say, well, this is where housing should be built into the future.
One of the issues that we want to kind of find out the most about is issues with large leaks of information becoming a common occurrence nowadays. And people may be possibly becoming more or less willing to share information in a census because culturally we are very much changing. And so we asked Neil, unfortunately, it's very hard to determine because it is only the preliminary results that have come in. But we asked him anyway.
It's hard to know at this stage. As I said, we're still getting the data in. We've got good feedback from our field staff to say that there is the vast majority of the population has no problem filling in the census forms, but you will always have a certain, I suppose, minority of the population that would have, for various reasons, they won't fill in the census form or particular questions on the census form.
So thanks to Neil Nugent for speaking to us about the preliminary census results. You can find out more about the census by visiting cso.ie.
Okay, so we are ready now for the classic album of the week. Each week we choose a classic album of our choice that we feel probably hasn't gotten the kind of recognition that it should. And to join me for this segment this week, we have Killian Byrne. Hello, Killian.
Thank you for having me.
You're a musician extraordinaire, multi-instrumentalist, and you're going to comment on this new album. So, what I've chosen this week is an album by a man of the name William Hung, and the album is called Inspiration. It was released in 2004. You know, I think William Hung is kind of one of these guys who I think is very, very much underestimated as a musician. So here is the single from his album Inspiration. It's called She Bangs, and it's not an original.
All the same, you lit it fierce and I'm taking away like a bomb. Yeah, baby, talk to me, tell me your sign. You're switching sides like a Gemini.
So you can hear he's a really, really great singer.
Yeah, not really though.
But my favorite song on the whole album is his cover of Hotel California, the classic by the Eagles. Wait till you hear this. It's so great.
Oh my god.
It's like a karaoke version. Some beautiful keys playing.
Yeah, garage band.
On the dark desert highway.
Oh god.
Cooing in my ear.
This is so terrible. Is he like a joke? Or is he
nice? He's serious. So wait, he won Britain's Got Talent. American Idol.
Good God. American Idol?
Yeah.
Like an actual
singing
competition.
In 2004 or something. But he was like a contestant.
Just got through.
Oh
my God. So bad.
There's this dude in the doorway.
But what I really love about his album is just the way that he puts this new twist on and makes other songs from different artists his own.
Twist is one way to put it.
It's a really... I highly recommend that you... I've listened to the whole album once, and it's really good. So I highly recommend that you check it out, because it's definitely worth the... definitely worth the listen.
Worth the pain.
Yeah, the final song is really good, actually. It's called Shake Your Bon Bon.
Ooh,
it's really neat. It's a really great way to end an album as well.
Get you moving.
It's something that really gets you dancing, gets you going. But that's
a what? Underneath your window. He's a what?
I wanna be your lover. Yeah, okay, we get the idea. But like, you
where's
know,
he from? Oh, okay.
He's Asian. So, yeah, it's a great album. I highly recommend you check it out. And that concludes our classic album of the week. Thank you for listening. Yeah. All right, let's move on.
So it's time now for Kevin Spacey film of the week. This week's Kevin Spacey film of the week is a relatively new release, came out this year. It's called Elvis and Nixon. So this stars Michael Shannon as Elvis Presley and Kevin Spacey as Richard Nixon. Best thing about this film is the tagline on the poster. In 1971, two of America's greatest recording artists met for the first time. Nothing in the film is as good as that tagline. This is a strange film. It's 85 minutes long, and the credits last about 10 minutes. So it's really short. Most of it is Elvis trying to get a meeting with Nixon, and Elvis is played absolutely terribly. Michael Shannon is a strange actor. Sometimes he's good, sometimes he goes way too far, and this is one of those examples. He looks nothing like Elvis. The costume and makeup, he has no physical resemblance to Elvis, but sometimes I can get past that with actors. Mm. For example, Michael Fassbender and Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
Because he's a really great actor, and he owned that role in that film. But with Michael Shannon as Elvis, he's not even trying. He doesn't do the voice. The hair and makeup is abysmal. It's embarrassing. And he just sort of stands there and goes, and then he eventually gets to meet Nixon. So he goes to the White House, and Kevin Spacey is sort of leaning across the table. And it's just, and then they do a karate demonstration. It's not very funny. It's nothing else either.
Yeah.
And the acting is very, very poor, and even Kevin Spacey isn't particularly good in it.
Hmm.
So Elvis and Nixon, it's a thumbs down for me.
We definitely recommend that you go and watch it.
But if you watch it, send us your reviews. We got so many reviews of Pay It Forward last week.
We did, actually.
We got a whole bunch of them. We won't have time to read them, unfortunately. No. But send us your reviews of Elvis and Nixon.
And maybe next week we might be able to get some time on the show
to read
your reviews of the movie.
And next week we'll do a real Kevin Spacey classic that we actually recommend.
Yeah, of course. So, just like every week, we recommend that you you join in and watch the movies.
Yes. And remember, if you have any contributions for our low stakes serial segment, if you have any little problems in your community that you'd like us to solve, send those in too, because we would love to help.
We are currently free.
We are currently have no
we have
problems
no,
to solve.
We have no problems to
Life's
solve.
Life's too easy
world.
After the leaving certificate.
That's, it? Yeah.
No problems
so
to
we
solve.
Have no, we have no problems to solve.
Okay. Will we wrap it up?
I think we shall wrap it up for this week, Lou.
Thank you for tuning in, everybody, for episode 10 of the 99%. Thank you, Michael.
No problem. Thank you, Lou.
Thank you to Killian for joining us for that segment. We'll be back next week with more 99% broadcasting from Galway, City of Culture 2020. You can visit 99pshow.com for all the latest episodes. Follow us on Twitter, 99pshow, facebook.com/99pshow, instagram.com/99pshow. And
you are revolutionary.
Thank you to Neil Nugent for joining us. I am revolutionary on Twitter. You are McAndrew Tweets. This is a co-production of Buzzhub Entertainment and Carb Digital. And that's about it.
We'll see you next week.
Next week we'll know who Hillary Clinton's vice presidential nominee is.
Mm.
It's very exciting.
Very exciting.
We'll see you then.
Goodbye.